All right, so I guess I got to kick this thing off. Hold on, let me get my microphone. I feel like I need sunglasses. That way you guys can't see my eye rolls. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Well, thanks for being here, guys. Did you have like a draw sticks to see who could go first?
No. Everyone's forceful.
Everyone's forceful?
Yes.
Is that you don't like that, Bob?
No,
would you like me to pick so it's easy, so everybody's not so forceful?
Sure, you pick.
Okay. All right, we'll go from right to left. Go ahead, Bob. You got your camera rolling over here.
I'm curious whether you...
How many races have you come to this year?
Like 32.
32?
Yeah.
So besides Claire, has anybody been to more races than you?
No clue. We don't really...
You don't count? Oh, you guys count.
No.
Spencer's?
Yeah,
Spencer's? Where are the Spencer's at?
37.
37, all right. Hey, you get next question. All right, go ahead.
Are you happy that you have fewer tires, or do you think it's silly that in the top series that you're going to have to manage tires in this race?
Am I happy about it? Happy is definitely not a word I would use to describe it. I'm not sure how those decisions get made, but I'm told that it's by people a lot smarter than me. So I'm just going to go ahead and trust that they had a really, really good reason for it.
Isn't that something that actually favors you and your team? Because you guys are always outside the box. If you guys do something different than the rest of the competitors, you can be in a great position.
It could be, yeah. I'd like to think that we do well with that. Probably the reality is it doesn't favor anyone. It just disfavors those that might have trouble early in the race. So, you know, if you run over something debris-wise or if you have a loose wheel, it could be catastrophic. So, for us, you know, the championship four teams, I think that means that you're going to see the pit crew go a little bit slower and make sure they get the wheels tight and all that, because you just can't have an issue. Because remember, you know, with tire sets, you lose a set when you have a loose wheel because you have to come in and change them, and now that set's junk. So when you don't have enough tire sets, having a loose wheel is the same as having a flat tire. So you can easily fall behind. And with this track, the surface being as coarse as it is, tire sets make a huge difference. It's almost like in Atlanta now. So you definitely are going to have to be extremely mindful of it this weekend.
So was this brought up in the Drivers' Council? I mean, this has been around for a long time.
Yeah, it's not a Drivers' Council decision. It's a...
just something to be brought up.
I just found out about it yesterday. So I didn't know until then.
It's been out for a long time. So,
Yeah.
I
guess I was worried about running Phoenix, and then I got the news. All right, let's try to have a strategy for Homestead. And we're have no tires. Okay, but I guess that's part of the deal.
Can you beat the other three teams straight up through sheer speed, or do you need to do maybe some out of the box strategy, or have something happen to them?
I have no idea. I'll have a much better answer for that Saturday after all of practice is done. You know, sitting here in this moment right now, it's kind of like everybody's got a poker hand and you haven't seen any cards. And the cards will start to get played Friday, and then with qualifying Friday night, and again on Saturday with, race practices and happy hours and so forth. So I need to see some more cards before I can tell you. You know, I know Vegas likes to have odds and all that going into it, but this is, and the people who have been around me long enough have heard me say, this is a very dynamic sport. And although it may not seem like it, until you step away from it, things change, you know, all the time. The drivers are changing, the sponsors are changing, the tracks, those maybe don't change as much as they should, but who has speed and who doesn't have speed changes a lot. So I don't know. If we looked at, you know, the mid part of the season and tried to draw some conclusions, absolutely not. If you looked at the start of the season, you know, we won Atlanta and probably should have won Vegas the first 2 mile and a half, so you would say, yeah, definitely. And then if you kind of rewound to Texas and Phoenix, I'd say we were Kansas. You could probably make an argument that we were within range, certainly not enough to dominate. So I don't know what we're going to have this weekend. There's quite a bit of unknown for everyone, and the racetrack will answer it for us piece by piece. And Friday and Saturday, I'll be able to give a much better answer. I know that's probably not what you're looking for, but it's hard to give an answer for that on a Thursday when things are changing the way they are. So
what would be coming a two-time
Cup champion mean to you, Brad?
Well, it's you know, a huge opportunity this weekend is to add to my legacy, and it's not, I shouldn't say mine, add to my team's legacy, because there's a number of people who've been on my team since 2010, crew chiefs, car chiefs, mechanics, spotters, and engineers. I mean, the list goes on. And I look at that and can't help but think that, you know, winning one championship is really great. It's a special thing to do. But, you know, you don't really have legacies until you have multiples. And that opportunity is in front of me right now. It's a bit strange feeling. I feel in a lot of ways that we were more competitive, you know, the last 3 years than we have been this year. And we didn't make the Final Four. So in some ways it almost feels like, you know, there's a bit of divine intervention with the way everything went last week. To be where I'm at here today, and I'm hoping that we can, you know, see that through. But I know it's a big mark. I mean, Georgia is only 15 drivers in the sport who've won multiple championships. I mean, we're 60 some years into the sport now. What are we, 69 years, something like that? Was it a 69th season?
Yeah.
So, you know, the thing about it, there's only been 15 multiple champions, like. And two of them are, you know, or at least one of them is active now, and another one hasn't had a chance to get in the Hall of Fame. But it's pretty much a certainty that those drivers will be in the Hall of Fame. Multiple championship drivers always will be. And it's a chance to really make myself a Hall of Fame driver. That's not something that anyone takes for granted, I don't think. Not something I take for granted, I know that. And that opportunity is – one race in front of me. I mean, it's, I literally only have to beat three people, you know, so it's a little bit kind of, in some ways, hard to really, you know, digest or comprehend for me, with all the different circumstances that are in front of me. But, it's one that I'm thrilled to be a part of. You know, I have a lot of gratitude for it. I think probably having the last four seasons between winning the other one, has been a chance for me to really reflect on what it really means. In a lot of ways, winning the first one so early in my career was like I was spoiled. You know, it's something you kind of take for granted. So, you know, I'm in a different place in my life with, you know, family and maturity and, you know, being in my 30s instead of 28 that I think makes you appreciate those things a lot more.
You don't think you're a Hall of Fame driver right now with the championship?
I don't know. I feel like, you know, if Dutton was here, he had this article once I read I really liked where he said, you know, it's not the and he said it better than I did. It's a Hall of Fame for a reason because it's supposed to do major things, and winning multiple championships is a major thing to me. And so I don't know. I kind of feel like in my own way, to your point, that to be a Hall of Fame driver, you need to win multiple championships, or I would need to win multiple championships. So, you know, I've been lucky enough to win one at the Cup level and one at the Xfinity level. But this would be – this in a lot of ways would mean more to me than the first one did. So it's a good opportunity, a good feeling.
What was your range of emotion last week as you saw the race play out in front of you? Denny at one point in.
Yeah.
Out, Chase
yeah.
passing, he's in. Kenseth passes him, he's out, you're in, that sort of thing.
Yeah, I think probably for a while, Reed, I just – thought, you know, if it's meant to be, it's going to happen. If it's not meant to be, it's not going to happen. I'm just going to, for damn sure, not be the one that doesn't make it happen. You know, I just didn't want to be the guy that ran into the wall or ran the brakes off of it or blew a tire and screwed it up. And so that was really for a long time. And then when Denny blew the tire, I was like, you know, I think I said, oh, my goodness. I couldn't believe it. And then it looked like Chase was going to win. I was like, well, I guess, again, it wasn't meant to be. And then he got passed there at the end, and I didn't know until probably, you know, sorry, two or three to go. And then it kind of felt like, well, I guess this is what's meant to be. So, you know, there's certainly some unease with all that, but I can't spend too much time looking in the mirror. I got to look out the windshield this weekend and just kind of be thankful for what I have. But I've been on both sides of that. You know, the last 4 years I felt like we've been just as good, if not better, and we've broke parts while leading and going to win a race, and we've, you know, blown engines, we've blown gears, we broke axles, we broke, you know, we just random stuff that should have never broke, and it kind of felt like the exact opposite, like it wasn't meant to be, and there was nothing I could do differently. But, you know, this year, for whatever reason, it's come together.
How often do you think about that first championship, and do you remember everything from that night?
I don't think about it that much. Every once in a while, I don't keep the trophy anywhere in public. Even I don't keep my house. I have it just locked away and kind of hidden. Every once in a while, I'll walk by the box and I don't even open it. And it's almost like a reminder, like, oh, yeah, I won the championship. I don't think about it that much. There's going to be a time for reflection in my life for these things. But the moment you're just so busy just trying to make today happen, that you don't have a chance to really sit and think about yesterday. But I guess that'll be cool one day if I ever have grandkids that'll want to hear my story. But maybe not.
Brad, could you imagine Cup without stage racing?
No, I think that stage racing is, if I could redo the sport, nobody asked me to build the sport. I wasn't alive in the 40s to do it. But even with that said, if I built the sport in 1948, this is how I would have built it. I would have built it with stages. I think, and I stick to it, that this has been a very healthy addition to the sport. So, for me, it's not hard to embrace. I believe in it, Chris, and I think that it was certainly a much-needed addition. I know there's some people that probably don't like it with respect to history tradition, but I don't know how you can objectively look at the sport and say that the stages haven't added an element of not just entertainment, but of competitive balance to the races that didn't exist before. I feel better about it, not just as a fan of the sport, but also as a competitor, because I feel like the right people are leaving the weekends scoring the most points. And I feel like it gets rid of this, you know, element of the guy who runs around in the back all day and watches everybody wreck and finishes fifth, and who didn't really race all damn day. And that was maybe more of a problem on the plate tracks than what it's ever been on the other tracks. But sometimes, you know, you look at the last wreck that happened at Martinsville. In a lot of ways it happens every now and then at all kinds of tracks. So I feel like it was the right thing to do for the sport. Does that mean the sport's perfect? No, not at all. But I don't think that you could ever expect one change to be everything the sport needs. But this one was, in my mind, without a doubt, a move forward for the sport.
Thank you, Paul. I wanted to ask, because Gluck has been asking guys, like, whether you and Kyle have been, like, do you even talk or anything during these days where you're all together? Do you try to talk to him at all? Because I know you've
talking's a little overrated. We're, you know, I'm like an ape. I grunt. You know? Tim the Tool Man Taylor. I probably get caught up in all these relationship things and forget about the reality of what this stuff's supposed to be all about, and that's going on the racetrack and racing. I think everybody wants to talk about that stuff, and not to say it doesn't have a factor on what goes on the racetrack, but it's not the primary factor. The primary factor is always going to be getting the cars right, being an influencer for your team to lead them to give their best, and then as a driver on the racetrack, making your best moves. And I mean, yeah, you're not on the racetrack by yourself, but a large part of the capabilities and moves doesn't really have anything to do with another driver. So spend all your time worrying about those deals there, then I think you lose sight of what does matter.
Your vocal point this season has been Toyota has this horsepower advantage. Going into this,
I never said horsepower.
Okay. They have an advantage at some level. Do you mm-hmm. feel like that advantage is still there and has it shrunk?
Well, they've definitely been really good on the mile and a half. And I would expect that to not change for the next few years with some of the stuff they got going on. I don't know what I'm going to see this weekend, or I should say what we're going to see this weekend. But, I expect them to be a formidable foe here with the parts and pieces they have for, you know, seasons to come.
Did you watch the Chase Elliott, Denny Hamlin replay stuff?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Think of how that
I didn't really form much of an opinion. I was kind of torn. I really kind of saw it from all sides. I thought it was, you know, a little bit strange. I would not have expected everyone's reaction to be as big as it was. I was a little bit caught off guard by that. It's probably my biggest reaction, which maybe I'm a little tone deaf. I knew Chase was really popular from doing the campground trips and seeing, you know, his flags and things like that kind of pop up and his T-shirts and so forth. But I didn't realize that he had such a strong and popular base as he does. So I think that was, if there was one big takeaway I took from that, was just kind of learning how popular Chase was. It was probably my biggest takeaway. Other than that, you know, there's just the nuances of, seems like every season, once or twice, there's the spats that happen, and add that one to the list.
I was talking about more Phoenix, though, than Martinsville. You know, did you perceive that as payback? And was that a fair thing?
It's hard because I can't read into, you know, the minds and hearts of those that are involved to know what their intentions are. Like, I don't know if Denny meant to wreck Chase. I don't know if Chase meant to run into Denny. I know what the results were, but you don't ever really know the intentions. So it's hard to draw conclusions. I mean, even being a race car driver that does this every day, I mean, it's really a game of inches and feet, and it's a game of feel. And so that makes it so difficult to always be able to judge somebody's intentions. And so I don't know who intended to do what, to draw any conclusions off of what happened. I mean, like, you know, any conclusions that I would feel comfortable testifying to the court of law, like if I was ever in that position. So it makes it really tough. And I'm not comfortable saying he did this and should have got that, because I don't know. I mean, there's part of me that thinks that Denny didn't mean to wreck Chase. Then there's part of me that says he did. And I can't draw any conclusions from it. There's part of me that says, well, maybe Chase at Martinsville held the brakes down. And then there's part of me that says, no, maybe he just got turned. So I don't know what happened. It's such a school of fish when the cars are out on the racetrack, not just at Martinsville, but everywhere we go, or Phoenix, that it's hard to draw any kind of conclusions as to why the fish run into each other sometimes.
The three guys you're racing against this championship have been here at Homestead under this format with a shot to win it. You haven't. Does it matter? Because
no, that doesn't matter. I mean, it feels good. Yeah, believe me, I'd much rather have been in all of them, Jordan. But there's no experience factor. I mean, this group here, we've raced against each other 30-some times this year, so it's not like, oh, I never seen this guy before. Yeah,
I thought it was,
know?
Just more of like the circumstances of you've come into Homestead with a shot for the championship, and they have had that under their belt. When you came here in 2012, yeah. you kind of had it locked up.
It doesn't feel much different to me than, you know, any of the other playoff races. I mean, Phoenix felt no different than this feels to me.
Okay.
You know, and there's the elimination races. This is just another elimination race. It's just the one that pays the most.
And you're good in those elimination races.
Well, yeah, so far, knock on wood. So far.
You have not only yourself racing for a championship, but a driver in Austin Cindric racing for the truck championship at Brad Keselowski Racing. What would him winning that championship mean for you and that organization as you guys kind of say your final farewell?
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, Kyle and I both have an opportunity to play a role in winning all three championships this weekend with ownership at the truck level, competing in the Xfinity level for the owner's championship with what we've done cumulatively throughout the season, and then the cup championship. So it would really, really be special to win all three. I don't know if anyone has ever done it. I don't think anyone's ever won all three championships or played a role in winning all three championships in a season. We both have that opportunity. It'll be tough for Austin, without a doubt. You know, he's still in his rookie season, and I think he deserves a lot of credit for making it as far as he has. But if he were able to do it, gosh, I couldn't think of a better way to go out. I'd feel like Matt Kenseth last week at Phoenix as an owner, for sure. Go ahead. He already started.
How much do you rely with Joey this weekend on information, having him do things?
Which Joey, Meyer or Logano? Okay.
And then,
there's a problem with too many Joeys.
Yeah, you've got Joey and potentially Blaney, but you know, the other guys have a little.
Yeah, I don't think there's a look, there's, it's always great to have teammates on your side, but I'm not counting on them, you know, playing wingman. And they have their own race to run, and I respect that.
Thanks for coming back.
No problem. No problem, gentlemen. No problem.
You say jump, I say how.